Welcome to another segment of Media Meeting. I'm Dawn Morgan, and so fortunate to have a conversation now by phone with Theron Drake, a former Hobbs resident whose family still lives here. And Theron was recently on the world stage and made Hobbs America very proud with some amazing accomplishments, taking several medals at the World Paralympics. It's just an amazing thing. Welcome in. Congratulations, and thank you for talking with us, Theron.
Thank you for having me today, Don.
Theron, 24 years old. I know that you graduated from Hobbs High School in 2011, and tell us, once you graduated from high school, what happened? Where did you go?
So right after high school in 2011, I went to the New Mexico Junior College for a year and a half, where I continued my education, which was a big part, continued my swimming. And then right after the New Mexico Junior College, there was a night I received word in October 1 year, my first semester of my sophomore year, that I got invited to be a resident on the Paralympic swim team here in Colorado Springs at the Olympic Training Center. So that is where I've been the last 4 years. I am currently enrolling in classes at DeVry University because here we don't have classes on campus. This is all for sports at the Olympic Training Center. We have a variety of sports that train here. We eat here and we sleep here. But my coach personally encourages us to pursue life outside of sport as well, because swimming won't last forever. So I'm working on my education, where I'm hoping after my bachelor's degree, I can use that for a business background is the plan.
All right. Well, tell us about the experience at the Paralympics. How many medals did you win, and in what events?
So the Paralympic Games was an amazing opportunity, but I think it's important to note that I didn't get there in just one step. And I feel a lot of kids that have the opportunity and blessing to go to every school in the Hobbs Municipal School District and get to speak to the kids and interact with them for a full day at every school. It was an amazing opportunity. And something I noticed is some of the kids just think, well, oh, cool, so you practice for a week or two, and then you got to go. And I think it's important to note that this journey started years ago.
When did your journey toward the Paralympics start? When did you start swimming?
So I started out swimming with the Caprock swim team in Hobbs when I was 9 years old. My mom didn't know how to swim, Kimberly Hummed. Didn't know how to swim, so she put us in swim lessons at an early age. And my little brother caught on, Tyler, and Tyler was a good swimmer. I couldn't quite figure it out, and so the story goes, they went up to Dad and go, hey, we want Tyler to swim with us. And Dad goes, well, take Tyler, you have to stand, because I'm not going to have that fight. And so that's how I joined the swim team. I figured a way across the pool, and it's history ever since. So that's the beginning of it. And then we continued the journey, and a lot had happened up to leading to my blindness, which we can talk about here in just a second. But I kept swimming after the blindness, and a lot of opportunities. I had help from an orientation and mobility instructor, a person who teaches you how to use a cane. Her name was Leslie Wilson, and she taught me about the Paralympics. And said, you know, just because you're blind doesn't mean your journey ends here. And swimming, just keep pushing. So I kept pushing, and come in 2012, comes around, and London Games. And I've had this big dream. I'm going to go to London, and here we go. And I get to the trials, and I have a great time on a 119.98 in a long course pool. Not that that means a lot to most people, for my 100-meter breaststroke. A decent time, and the next day, it's a Sunday, and they announced the team. And I remember sitting there going, well, let's see what happens. So I'm listening for my name. It never comes up. And then all of a sudden, after all the men have been announced, all the women, they announce, all right, and our alternates are, and there's my name right there, Theron Drake. And that night, we went back. So I learned later, you get a hat, a bag, and a drug test for alternate. You don't get to go to London, And I also got a really cool life lesson and a really good wake-up reminder. And I made a really big decision that night in our hotel room in Bismarck, North Dakota, where the trials were that year. And I told my dad, you know, I'm tired of being the bubble guy. And the bubble guy is the person who either keeps making it barely, or keeps missing team barely. You know, you hear the saying, C's get degrees. And that's kind of what the bubble guy is he's good with just getting in. I said, you know, I'm going to fly to live at the Olympic Training Center, and I'm going to become a champion. And that night I turned in my application, and I got accepted a few months later. And then the next 4 years came, and here we go to Rio. A lot of ups and a lot of downs. And Rio comes, had a great trial, just missed the world record by a few decimals, went a 110.85, and the world record was a 110.11. So a lot has changed in the last 4 years, and had a great trials. We go to Rio, and my dreams are becoming a reality. And at that moment in Rio, I remember landing going, wow, this is it. The opportunity you missed out on 4 years ago was worth it, because now you can see what it really takes to be at this level. But I'm not good with just settling just to be here. I want to win. I want to win, and I put in all this hard work and effort for the last, at that point, it was 14 years from the time I started swimming at 9 to that point at 23 years old going to Rio. They put you in a ready room about 30 minutes before your race. I remember sitting there in that ready room going, holy cow, look where I'm at now. So it was an amazing, amazing opportunity. So we step out, and they announce you in order of rank. And I had this big, goofy grin on my face because I knew this is the moment. This is my time to shine, and I get to represent my community of Hobbs. And I want to show them, and the kids especially, that you can do anything you put your mind to. So I dove into the water, and I just swam my race. And if you watch the race on YouTube, which I encourage many of you to do, you'll see the race, and I'll give you a heart attack, because the first lap, at the 8-lap race, I was fifth to the wall. Then at the second lap, I was fourth, and I held that for another 2 laps. So the halfway mark, I was fourth place. If you ask my dad, who was able to attend, my dad and my mama Kay, Karen Drake, my stepmom, they were able to attend that race and the 100-meter breaststroke a few days later. But in that race, they will tell you, I always give you a heart attack because I was fourth to the wall. But I had my race plan. I know every few laps go a little faster, because all these other guys are going to waste their energy. And so it's going to be my time to go for it. So at the 300-meter mark, I turn and I pass the Brazilian, and so I end up leading in second place. So the other American, Brad Snyder, kicked all of our butts and took gold, but I was in a race with a silver medal against the Brazilian. And talk about one of the craziest moments in my life. Not sure if you've ever been into a big concert, and that's what it sounded like with my head underwater. It sounded like I was in this really, really loud concert. Everyone screaming and going crazy. And the neatest part was the majority of people were cheering against me. They wanted the Brazilian to beat me, of course, as they should. And so I'm racing, and then the last 25 meters of the race, pretty sure I met Jesus that day. I was exhausted, thought I might die, but I remember breathing, taking one of my last few breaths, and I, in the crowd, I'm pretty sure I could hear my dad and my mama Kay. And I'm going, wow, I hear them. That must mean I'm doing something right. Let's figure out a way to win this race. Figure out a way to finish this race. And I finished the race, and I beat the Brazilian by 0.09 seconds. Just an amazing, amazing opportunity, and it was really cool. Very glad I didn't do an extra 2 laps like I did in the same race the year before, and very, very amazing moment. At the end of the day, that with God on my side, I was able to make it, able to get there to that point in life, but that the story wasn't over yet. I got another race, and life's going to go on after these medals, and what can we do for these medals to continue their story? So 3 days later, come up, and then we get to the 100-meter breaststroke, my race, my stroke, and I hear the song, Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, and I start dancing, and I think back to the times, listening to your radio station as a kid, going, oh, wow, you know, this is my song, and I start dancing a little bit on the block, and have just a great prelims race, got right where I wanted, perfect positioning for that night. And so we get there that night, someone had pulled our fire alarm in our apartment in Rio, and so we didn't get to go to our apartment most of the time, so living off of no nap, which is not a good thing for a swimmer, and the no nap, I went, you know, nothing's going to stop me, this is my time, here's my race. So we get up to that 100-meter breaststroke, and I do my race, I take one stroke, two stroke, and bam, run into the left lane line. So I'm going, okay, I can fix this. You just got to pick up the pace. Don't let it stop you. So get out of the water. My coach tells me, hey, you took silver. That's awesome. And I'm going, silver? That stinks. I didn't come here all the way to lose. I came here to win. And I had just these negative thoughts for a little bit, honestly, for a few minutes. And we had this rule on the team. You can only be mad 10 minutes because – and then when you're mad, you need to leave. Don't affect everyone else because we still have swimming to do. And so I did my warm-down mat. Then I got my medal in. I started thinking and getting more positive and going, wow, this is a great opportunity that, you know, there's going to be other opportunities to go for gold. And let's learn from our lessons and be happy about this moment. So I get there that night, and I FaceTime my girlfriend, and she's telling me how great of a job I did. I went, yep, it's cool, and show me your medal. So I kind of flashed her the medal real quick, and go, tink, tink, yep, cool, it's silver. And she gave me the best quote I'll ever hear, and that was, be happy but not content. And that was the best thing you could have ever said. Be happy in the moment. Yeah, you had this high goal, and you did great. You didn't quite get to where you wanted, but you basically met a lot of your goals. Be happy, but don't be content. Don't be content. Keep climbing and find your way to where you need to be. And that was an amazing moment. So the next few days, 3 days later, from the 200 IM, or the 100-meter freestyle, the next day, 200 IM, my games are done. Get a fly home, and then eventually we would go to the White House, where I got to meet President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, and First Lady Michelle Obama. And it was a really cool thing. And I remember the crazy story there was Joe Biden grabbing my medals off my neck. He went, those are cool. Yeah, they shake, and I went to take them off, and I was told that Secret Service would tackle me if I did that. So I let the vice president shake the medals that were around my neck, and just a really cool experience. And I went, wow, I can't wait to tell the kids in Hobbs all about this.
So explain the difference between the Paralympics and the Special Olympics.
Okay. The Paralympics is... So I think the most important thing to mention about the Paralympics is the word para that is there. Most people believe that para stands for paralyzed or something to do with paralysis. But para actually stands for parallel. So it is to be considered parallel with the Olympics and equal. The biggest difference between Paralympics and Special Olympics is Paralympics encompasses athletes with physical disabilities, visual disabilities, as myself, and then those with an intellectual impairment. Whereas Special Olympics is more geared to athletes with just the intellectual impairment.
Well, tell us, you had sight for most of your life, and tell us your story on losing your sight.
In 2007, November 2007, I developed retrograde and anterograde amnesia, which is just a fancy word for memory loss. Then I kept swimming, and as we went, we were going into swimming at the state high school meet in 2008, February 2008. And we were doing our thing, swimming, had a great meet. And as we're leaving, my dad was the coach, we're leaving the restaurant in Albuquerque, getting on the bus, and I start complaining that everything went blurry. So I'm telling Dad, everything went blurry. And he's going, okay, you know, you're just tired. We're all tired. Everything kind of blurry. Okay. So get home that night. Nothing changed. My whole vision was still bad. And then next day, same thing. days go on, nothing got better. We went to a neurologist in Austin, Texas area, and they said, you know, we need to fix this amnesia stuff. We need to fix the blindness. And he had been thinking on what to do. So he did all these studies. We had gone to all these doctors by this point, and no one knew quite what it was. It was a medical mystery, which seems to be the best part of my life. Is I'm a mystery to everyone. No one knows what to expect next. So here I'm a medical mystery, and eventually we get the amnesia fixed. And I was at the freshman high school at that time, which is now where Heiser is now. I was there, and so every day it was a new day with the amnesia, and then you threw the eyesight on top of it, and it didn't go all at once. It went kind of slowly, in about a 3.5 month period, went from blurry to nothing. And I couldn't have done that without my family, and that was a huge part of that. So swimming, kept up my swimming, did well with swimming, and took a year or two for my swimming to catch up. And then I learned to feel for the water, and I learned to do all these different things that came from my dad. My dad was very hard-headed, which is where I get it from. And we're driving home one day, about 3-4 months after I went blind, and he pulls over, and I'll never forget him saying, you know, you're only blind. I always thought you can do anything you put your mind to, and hard things are going to happen, like your blindness, but you can do anything. So you're going to get out of the car, and you're going to walk home. And I went, well, what do you mean, Dad, walk home? You realize I am blind. I can't see, right? I realize that, but you're going to walk home from here. And I went, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was talked about, man, my brother Tyler and my sister Caitlin will tell you. When I finally made it home 2 hours later, I was mad. And I, of course, I found out 3 years later, Dad had followed me the whole time. He had watched me in the car, and he was as nervous or more nervous than I was at that moment. But he knew this was the moment that could possibly change my life. Show me, yeah, this is one of the hardest things you'll ever do, and you might be really upset right now, but you can overcome this. We can overcome this together. And I did. I found my way home 2 hours later. Turned out he only dropped me off 2 blocks away. I thought he dropped me a few miles away. And I found my way home. And so I continued my journey, and I continue to this day with the support of my family and my friends who really helped me get here. I couldn't have done it without any of them.
Okay. Who are the other inspirational figures that you draw strength from?
The first thing I try to do every morning is wake up and I try to read my Bible. That's something to really give me encouragement, something I was taught at an early age. I grew up at going to church at Bel Air Baptist Church, where my dad's the pastor at. And so that's something I do every day. And then as I'm thinking through the day, I always think of the life lessons my dad taught me. My Mama Kay, my mom, Kimberly Ahmed, life lessons she taught me as well, and my brother Tyler, and then when I need something funny, I think of my sister Caitlin. Caitlin is the quiet one who actually secretly is the family clown, I think. And so I think of them. I think of my grandparents, Evo and Irene Drake, and the crazy shenanigans my grandparents, Irene Cruz and Ronnie Cruz, get into, and all the fun and life lessons all of my family has taught me, and my friends, like Jimmy Trevino, who happened to be on the bus right by me when my amnesia came and the blindness came. Friends like that who stuck it through, even when the new ran away and it was no longer new, no longer the popular thing. And so they were there the whole time. And I think of guys like that. But another big one that I think of back home is Hobbs. I think of the kids in Hobbs and I go, how can I help a kid make a better life decision? Because quite frankly, there's moments in life I go, what are we thinking? What is that kid thinking? Why did they do this? And how can I prevent them from whatever it might be, whether it's joining a gang or trying their first sip of alcohol at the age of 15, 16 years old or trying marijuana or whatever it might be? How can I help make a positive difference to try to change a little bit of that? How can we do this? And that's little things to think of in the morning that really keep me going. It keeps me going, and when I'm having a hard day, I remember, you know, remember when you were in Hobbs and that little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 10-year-old, that high schooler, middle schooler, they held your medal. Might have been just for a second or two, but when they touched it, they held it and go, wow, I could do this too. All this pain in this pool will be worth it. And that's some of the things I think about on a day-to-day basis. It seems like all the time is, how can we change our community? How can we make the world a better place?
And how do you think that is? What's the number one way that you think you can make a positive difference? And maybe what's the number one piece of advice that you give a young person?
This sounds really cheesy. My answer is going to sound really cheesy. But I'm going to tell you, just a smile. Sometimes just learning to smile. There's a woman at our church who's been really influential in my life, Barbara Green. And she told me, about a month ago, we were talking about sometimes we just get a smile, spread our smile. She said, yep, because if you smile soon enough, even if you're faking it soon enough, you'll forget that you're actually faking it and wonder why you're just sitting there happy for no reason.
And what's next for you? You're at the training center, obviously, so what is the next goal that you're reaching for?
So my next big goal, there's always a bunch of little goals that lead up to the big goal. But the next big goal is we have a World Championships coming up in Mexico City, I believe, in late September, early October. And so my next big goal is to not only attend those, but to win. I would like to win a few events at those games, at those championships, I should say, not games, at those championships. And with that in mind, the gold I want to bring back to Hobbs. I want to bring back gold to Hobbs to show the kids, as I told them at their school, just because it took silver, that doesn't mean we're at the end. We're going to continue our goals. We continue our goals. Because, like I said, it was like making a B on a really hard test. It was awesome, but I want that A. So that's the big plan coming up.
All right.
So I want to learn to sprint a little bit and be a threat in more than just two events. I think I can be a threat in about 5 or 6.
How many hours a day do you spend in the pool, and then what other training exercises do you do outside the pool?
So typically we're in the pool for 1.5 to 2 hours, and we do that 9 times a week. So that's about 18 hours in the pool, roughly. And then outside of that, we do 2 to 3 strength and conditioning sessions. So that's about another hour, hour and a half. So that can be anywhere from 3 to 4 hours in a week of extra stuff. And then, again, I have some school I've been working on, and it seems like I get to speak to different schools here in Colorado Springs, and different opportunities like that, when they arise, I try to take advantage of that and really use that to help push me along with my life and hopefully get to touch a few lives.
As a swimmer, do you have to consume a lot of extra calories, or is diet and nutrition, you know, a crucial element of your training regime?
So one of the best things I think for my family was when I moved out, because the food bill went drastically down. For me to maintain weight, I typically try to eat around 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day. That's to maintain weight, so I don't lose any weight. And the average person is supposed to eat about 2,000 to 2,500 calories. But I'm not just eating cheeseburgers or french fries or anything like that. I'm very careful with what I put, and I have reasons why I eat everything.
So what's your favorite thing to splurge on that might not be very healthy for you, but your favorite thing that you might reward yourself with?
Oh, you know, my favorite thing's got to be good Mexican food, and that's because I grew up in Hobbs, or biscuits and gravy is always a really good one, too. Stuff like that, or a chicken fried steak, or pizza, I like just about any food, but anytime I'm in Hobbs, I've got a few different restaurants I really like to go to, and I just start trying to hit them as fast as I can before I have to leave town.
And what are some of the favorite things that you like to do for fun and for entertainment?
So the thing that will surprise people, it's really funny going to schools and saying this one, is I like to go to the movies. Tonight, I'm going to go watch Power Rangers in a little bit, which, as a kid growing up, that was my favorite TV show, so I'm excited to go watch Power Rangers in the movie theater. People always ask, well, how do you do that? And I always have someone next to me describe, which is, again, ask my sister Caitlin. She's the most fun at that because I don't know what to believe or not to believe. She'll tell me the craziest things that happen in the movie that you just know don't make sense. So watching the movies or playing musical instruments, bass guitar at my church, which I've done for probably 12 years now, and then piano. I picked up pianos when I had amnesia. I picked up piano, and those are some of the things I really, really enjoy doing.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Any final thoughts, anything that we haven't covered that you think is important to know or that you would like to say?
I think what's most important to say is thank you. Just a thank you to the community of Hobbs and Lee County, and thank you for letting me help touch your lives a little bit and hopefully entertain you on the way. And thank you for everything, for the Hobsonville School District, for the education that I received and I continue to use today. And just thank you to all of you.
Well, thank you, and congratulations again on your accomplishments and good luck in your future endeavors. And we are proud that you're representing us, and you're a credit to your family and to your community, and mostly to yourself. Thank you, Theron Drake.
Thank you.
By the way, Theron welcomes anyone who wants to communicate with him. Theron does get a small stipend from Paralympics. He does quite a bit of public and inspirational speaking and accepts donations for that and also accepts sponsorships. If you'd like to contact Theron Drake for any reason, you can go on Facebook at fan page. Look for Theron Drake, TheronDrake. Also on Snapchat or email him at DrakeTheron@gmail.com. I'm Dawn Morgan. Thank you for listening to Media Meeting. Tomorrow, the show will be available in podcast form at podomatic.com.